inevitable.
You mean you have to use your hands?
That's like a baby's toy.
I'm totally Batman.
Oh, man.
Shh.
Communing with the Earth Spirits.
Welcome to California, bud.
Cowabunga.
The world of magic.
And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes podcast. This week, we start a brand new Secondary Take series with the new Disney Plus series, WandaVision. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
I'm wandering around visioning what this show could be about. Hey, this is DeLorean Wolfgang. Sorry, I went out way on a stretch on that one.
That was great. That was like something I would do. That was fantastic.
Really? Because it was, yeah. I feel like it was pretty bad.
Oh, it was
but
awful.
Thank you. I appreciate
it.
That. You loved it. Wow. Yeah. High praise, folks. Highest praise. I love it. Cool. So WandaVision, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody's super stoked on this show right now.
So besides Alex, I think everyone actually is, just because it's Marvel's first foray into television with the Disney Plus series. And originally, the first show out of the gate was supposed to be Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but that got switched to March. And so now here we are with WandaVision going first. And WandaVision isn't going to be like a typical Falcon and Winter Soldier. There's bad guys to deal with. And, you know, it's a different type of show. So it's interesting that it's going to kick things off.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that wasn't their plan, right? You know, this wasn't what they wanted. This is what they ended up with. I'm perfectly fine with it because I've read comics my whole life, so being weird is nothing new to me, if you know me. I think maybe for the more general audience, it was kind of weird, I guess. I don't know. Alex, what's your kind of thought on this being the first foray into television for the MCU?
I'm guessing we're just going to jump right into our spoiler-free
portion.
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Okay. Well, before I do my spoiler-free version, how about everybody at home or in your car or whatever you're doing, like and subscribe follow us, add us. Yeah, go on to Twitter. We actually are very active on Twitter. Follow us all at Secondary Heroes. If you're watching on YouTube, I know. We're looking good. Anyways, and please go over to iTunes and rate and review our podcast because it helps us get more listeners. And all of this is free for you, priceless to us. Now, my spoiler-free
episode.
Ooh, he's got something cool.
Yeah, I do want to add, if this is the first time to the Secondary Heroes, Secondary Takes is something where we're watching movies or shows, and we'll go over it, kind of analyze it scene by scene. But before we get there, we're going to give a spoiler-free review. We did this for The Mandalorian, so if you haven't watched Mandalorian Season 2, or even if you have, you can listen to our breakdown episode by episode. And we're going to do this for WandaVision. We hope you like it, because if you do, we're going to keep doing it for different movies and TV shows throughout 2021.
Cool.
Let us know.
Yeah,
let
baby.
Us know. Yeah.
That's right. So, let's jump into it. So we watched the first two episodes of WandaVision. They were just recently released. And So I didn't fully mind it, but I also didn't fully care. Like, here's the thing is, it didn't feel like it's a part of any story until you get to the end of each episode. Like, it's just a mess of stuff happening. And then it's like, oh, this is going to turn into something. But that something comes at the last, like, 10 minutes of the show. Or not even 10 minutes, like 5 minutes, because it's only, like, 20-minute episodes.
Right.
But all in all, I was fairly interested. There was little nuggets that kept me going, oh, now I'm interested. And then it would go back into cheesy, whatever, silly stuff.
Were you at least entertained? And be honest.
I'm trying to figure that out. Yeah, I think maybe this is going to be one of those slow burns to where the third episode I'm going to be like, okay, this is now I'm invested. But so now, far, I'm not invested. But I personally don't care about these characters.
Right. And the reason why I asked, why I'm asking you this, and I'm glad you went first, is because I'm really interested on the take of somebody who, like you, is not interested in the characters and may not be as invested in, say, like the comic book and have been reading these stories for a long time and know these characters and what's going on. Because I feel like this might be like what you said. You might feel kind of lost and like, I don't quite understand this. So right. I'm glad that you told me what you did, because I was wondering about that as I was watching the two episodes.
Yeah. And as the everyman seeing this and going like, okay, if I didn't list, for instance, earlier today, I listened to the Dorksmen, where they had the Average Nerd podcast on as their guest, and they were talking about the show and they were mentioning certain things where I'm like, okay, these are things that I'm going to look out for whenever I watch it. And so I watched it and I started noticing certain things. I'm trying to be very vague because this is supposed to be spoiler free at this point, but that gave me something to look for though. If I didn't listen to the Dorksmen earlier before I watched the show, I wouldn't have even thought twice. I wouldn't have even cared about a lot of the things that they were pointing out.
Yeah, and I think this is why Marvel had wanted this to not be the first series to go to air. I think they wanted this to be kind of like the secondary show, if that makes any sense.
Always to us.
Anyways, going into my review, I think that this show met my expectations. It didn't fall below and it did not exceed them. It met my expectations. I kind of had an idea of what the show was going to be, not just based on the trailers, but based on my knowledge of comic book history and who these characters are. I went, oh, I know what they're doing with this. And I had fun. I thought it was a fun two episodes. It wasn't anything quite groundbreaking yet, but I think I know where they're headed. And if they're heading where I think they're going to, I think this is going to be pretty monumental for the entirety of the Marvel universe. So there's my take. It's fun. Lots to look out for in each episode. Lots and lots.
It seems like it. It totally seems like there's so much to look at, but if you don't know what you're looking at, then you're just sitting there going, all right, cool. Well,
my one critique of the show is that it's almost too geared toward the hardcore comic book reader who is familiar with all these things. Right. Almost so much that it might even alienate some people, possibly. I don't know. That's just my gut. We'll see going forward. All right, Trevor, sorry.
Nice.
No, I'm more in Alex's camp just because I think they didn't fully flesh. They could have made this one episode that was like 40 minutes or something instead of, like, once I watched episode one, I'm like, okay, I see what we're going towards. And then episode two is almost identical. It's just, they're like, here's more Easter eggs and here's more little shout outs of what we're building. But I feel like they could have proceeded to the narrative more than what they were doing for it if you take two episodes as a whole. But I do like that this is going to be a 9-episode run, and they said they're going to be different lengths, so they're not all going to be like 22-minute episodes. So this is kind of just get your feet wet. So it makes sense to launch two at the start. And just if you watch episode one, it's like, okay, I see what they're doing. This is really fun, and it's just a nice change of pace for MCU, and then it still is establishing stuff. But then you add in episode two together, and it's like, okay, yeah, I've done this already, especially if you watch them back to back. It gets really long, and they're like, the parts that are interesting, like the little as almost needles in a haystack, they feel like once you take all two episodes together, you're like, okay, they gave us hardly anything in the grander scheme of, like, if this is one episode, it's like, okay, they gave us enough to intrigue. For two episodes, it's like, okay, that's not enough intrigue.
Yeah.
That is exactly how I felt was, there just wasn't enough intrigue, especially with I'm expecting something to be much bigger and more expansive for characters that I don't really know anything about or at this point don't care about, like when Vision, hey, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Infinity War, Vision dies, and it's like, well, okay, so why am I watching this show of a character who's dead?
We'll get into that in our spoiler talk.
Okay. Are we ready for that?
We'll go way into that. I think we are.
Okay, so if you're keeping track at home, we're now going to spoil the entirety of two episodes, and we're probably going to spoil a lot in the MCU, and we might even spoil of where this show is headed in this 9-episode run.
So oh, we will. I will, at least.
Yes.
Sorry.
And I'll just make fun of everything, because...
That's whatever. Fine, because I'm a nerd!
Nerd! Okay.
All right. We so should probably we dive into this. Boys?
Well, the fun beginning for me is that I was like, oh, cool, I'll watch this on my TV in the front room. It's 4K. And then we get the nice black and white 4x3. And I'm like,
too bad. The whole time.
So with the 4x3 and the black and white, I'm actually really surprised that they continued that on into the second episode. Like, they that was the entire first episode and I would say 90% of the second episode. I was really surprised that that happened.
I wasn't really surprised by it. I think that was kind of an aesthetic choice that was made, and I thought they were going to do that, and they did it. So, it was interesting. I mean, it's something I haven't seen, you know, in not a long time.
Well, the last time I saw something like this was Pleasantville. And Pleasantville, to me, is fantastic. I know that I've actually mentioned it before on secondary shorts. Pleasantville's wonderful. It's wonderful in every way, and this is it gave me those vibes of Pleasantville.
I'm trying to remember, was it Pleasantville in a box format as well?
I don't think it was box format.
Okay, I thought that's what we were talking about. Was that I do know that it,
well, black and white, and with like specks of color here and there.
Gotcha.
Like, for instance, there's a scene where they're talking about a toaster, and there's a red light out of this whole everything in the episode was black and white except for that red light,
right.
Which, hey, that could be something, and I'm sure you guys maybe know.
Hey, we'll talk that could about be that. Something. Yeah. That's what WandaVision's tagline is. Hey,
hey, that could be something. That could be something.
Hey, that thing over there, the helicopter that just so happens to be Tony Stark's colors. That could be something. Yeah,
this is really going to help me realize that this show is not geared for the mass Marvel universe audience at all. That, or they just didn't quite understand that most people weren't going to get a lot of the stuff that they were hinting at. Which is fine and not fine at the same time. I don't know how to make that as a judgment call for the quality of this show.
Or even anyways, yet.
We'll dive into this.
I think
this.
It's better once we see all 9 episodes.
Right.
You know, but there's some stuff in there that might never be explained to that seem to be dropped. I don't know, just little hints and things that call back to comic book stuff that happens that, like, I doubt they're going to talk about ever. That's just me. You know, I think I almost am guessing that they're assuming that people are going to immediately go online after the show and like watch breakdown videos or go through, you know, Wikipedia page and be like, oh, I wonder what that meant. And let me figure out what that was. And, you know, I feel like they must realize that that's what people are going to do with this show. Because it has that mystery built in, right? It's like, oh, I want to know why they kept showing this thing or name dropping that person or whatever.
Yeah, I just feel like there was too many of those little things that it would almost become like you're just spending hours researching for a 20-minute episode.
That's the delicate balance that we saw with The Mandalorian, where it was made for general audience. It's specifically, we're going to focus on things that, oh, look, here's Tatooine and here's Jawas and stuff. Mm-hmm. Here's all this stuff that, you know, look, he's baby Yoda. He looks just like Yoda. Look, you know this stuff. And Nimbus. So their Easter eggs are relatively cursory glances of the Star Wars universe. And Marvel's like, we're not going to do that. We're going to dive deep, even though our entire audience really is based on these big movies that really haven't cared that much about comic lore. Like, the main things are, but they're not filled with those comic Easter eggs and tie-ins of the movies. And you have a movie that made $2 billion. So obviously a bunch of people saw it, and you're just going to be like, look, we're on Disney Plus now. And then, oh, small subsection of you like super uber nerds that have read every comic and they paste the pictures, the different pages on their walls and stuff as their wallpaper.
Wait, how'd you know I did that? Whoa. Did I leak pictures online of my bedroom as a kid? Okay, well, that's weird.
So that's delicate. Yes.
It is delicate. No, I feel you there. I do feel like this might have been a little bit too much of that. Even though I love that aspect of it, like the nerd in me, I went, yeah, this is going to be too... Like, I almost knew watching it that Alex was not going to like this. very much.
Well, okay, so
not that he was going to hate it, but I just kind of tell that there was a lot of like, I don't know.
I think one of my problems is, and maybe I missed one of the movies, and I guarantee you I did because I didn't watch all of
the Marvel movies,
and maybe I missed the Marvel movie where Wanda and Vision are actually relevant, because I don't remember. I mean, the only thing about Infinity War was trying to save Vision from the stone in his forehead. Like, that was the most significant thing that I remember, except for like them being chased around Paris or whatever. And that's about all I ever saw of them two. And it really was like, eh.
I'm going to explain why this is.
Okay, thank you.
There's this whole thing where Marvel did not own the rights to mutants. They didn't own the rights to a lot of the mutant characters. But they wanted to have Wanda come into their movies, right? So they had to explain her a different way. And they didn't do a very good job of that because her powers are insane. Like, she's one of the most powerful beings in the universe, in the history of comics. And they kind of nerfed her to the point where she was just this little witch that can do, you know, some telekinesis stuff.
We can float around and have glowy hands.
Right. That's all she really did. She really only had, like, I think, what, maybe 20 minutes of screen time total between all the movies? Like, she wasn't in the MCU much. So here's the thing. Here's the reason why they're doing this is because guess what they just bought the rights to from 20th Century Fox?
Right. X-Men. Mutants.
Right. So now they can dive into her actual powers. They can take this character, which is a huge character in the comic books, and delve into her story finally. So like, oh, finally we can, you know, do this. And here's the show. We can show you who this character really is and what she does mean to the Marvel Universe. And what they're going to do, this is going to be kind of long term for the whole show, most likely, is kind of an inverse of a storyline that's famous from the comic books. So we'll touch on that a little bit later. But that's why, but that's my guess as to why this show is a show.
Is that MCU made her powers outside of being a mutant. So
right.
You kind of almost redact, because she's essentially created by the Mind Stone, right?
Right. Like, yeah, she's manipulated by the Mind Stone. Yes.
And so her and Vision are both essentially powered by the Mind Stone, and their attraction is only because the Mind Stone wants to be whole again. It's like the idea of being a soulmate and moon stars, and it's just the soul much, stone, or the Mind Stone. But anyway, since she does have her powers like that, she's not mutant. So if you tie into mutant storyline, it's tough. Like, I don't even know how they're going to pull it off.
We say that a lot with the MCU, but they always pull it off. So I don't know. I'm really interested. I'm intrigued as heck to figure out how they're going to pull this off. I'm not too sure how, or even if they can.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, let's get into the show, man.
Let's get into it. Episode one.
WandaVision. Okay.
So episode one, we get the Donna Reed opening, which is one of my favorite shows growing up watching Nick at Night. Also, this is a love letter to like kids that grew up watching Nick at Night. You know, all those old shows back on Nickelodeon.
Dick Van Dyke.
That kind of show. Yeah, it's great. And I love Dick Van Dyke. And
I love Lucy was on Nick at Night as well. Yeah man, all those oldies were on Nick at Night. Had all their
episode too.
But that's the thing, is like everything in the beginning of this just felt like, it felt like just rewatching Nick at Night like, all over again, like a Dick Van Dyke.
That was the idea.
Yeah, and that was the idea. I did that, but
and I loved it because I love Nick at Night.
But no, they did it really well, though. I mean, you had the annoying laugh track. You have the one-liners that go back and forth. Like those one-liners are actually pretty well written. Like they tie into, oh, the fridge is empty, but I don't eat food, so that makes sense. It actually is pretty funny.
Come on, Alex.
How come if Wanda? Never mind. Nope.
Oh, the laugh track is very important, by the way. So, anyways,
I'm sure. You know what? I'm sure it is. But let's continue. So at the beginning, he walks through the front door while he's carrying her. But he walks through because he can go through things.
Right.
This is something that I just learned. So he goes through her and the front door and she falls to the ground.
Did you not watch any of the movies?
No, I probably didn't.
Okay.
I saw it's like his main power. In that other one.
All right.
Hey, if it wasn't in Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't care.
Fair point.
No, that's so he walks through the front door with her in his arms, and she falls to the ground, and then he opens the door and picks her back up, and then he walks through the chair that's inside. That's, I feel like, was the biggest nod to Dick Van Dyke, because he always tripped over the chair, over the ottoman thing, but he just walks right through it. Now, this is where something's going to come up later on in the episode that I had big question marks about. Continuity, maybe, but... yeah, where do we go from this first scene? This is almost like the classic intro.
Classic intro, and that scene that you talked about is one of the more famous covers from Marvel, where he phases through the door with his bride in his arms scene. So it's kind of a cool nod to comic book fans. But I think there's a lot of detail that went into creating this show to make it really feel like those old shows. Like, again, it had the same like camera work and everything, and almost like it was like shot on film. It was pretty well done, I thought.
Even the angles of the shots, how they're like when they're even the intro, they are going in the car and Vision covers his face, but you can tell that the car is not actually, it's just stationary, and they're doing all that kind of classic stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Anyways, right, so let's get into the intro.
Right. So we're through the intro, and this entire episode is predicated. They can't remember a special date on the calendar. There's a heart on the calendar. And they're like, oh, why can't I remember? Vision's like, I have this super memory and I have no idea what it is. And so this everything is going to revolve around that classic episode of kind of a pronoun game to set up two people who have different expectations for an evening. And it's all based on the heart on the calendar. And so the fun part here is that Wanda doesn't have an accent. So if you've ever watched her first appearance in Age of Ultron, she had a very heavy accent, and every single time we've seen her, it's dropped less and less. And now I know this isn't particularly based in the MCU present day storyline, but she has no accent whatsoever, and it's fun to hear.
It is fun. they tried to explain it in different ways. If you read articles, it's very interesting, and it's kind of like they just didn't want to do the accent, is my guess, and they found a way around it, but it works really well here, right? Because it's an American sitcom, so she can use an American accent since this is all her head. But we'll get into that later.
But anyways,
we will discuss this. So yeah, I also wanted to make note of the scene where he gets hit in the head with a plate, and she calls his head indestructible. Because his head is not indestructible, because he got his head crushed by Thanos when he died. So it was very dark. There's a lot of dark humor in this show, by the way. Like super, super, super dark humor. Yeah.
I hope that you point all of them out, because I'm sitting there going.
That was a good one. I didn't even like. I just took that for granted. That's.
Do you know what's really sad? Okay, so I'm gonna. It's not a spoiler, but I'm gonna kind of spoil the gig. So she created this world because she's grieving for the loss of her love. You know, Vision died. She doesn't know what to do. What do I do? Remember all those sitcoms I watched growing up? Why don't I create the perfect life in the sitcom world, right? So what does she do? She makes his head indestructible in her dream world. Your head's indestructible. And here, in my dream world, you can't die because you're indestructible.
So it's this whole
sad mind game thing.
That's actually interesting that you say that, because my whole thought while watching this was they're in some kind of limbo. They're in some kind of, like, they're not, like, in real everyday life like we are, you know, but they're still aware of, okay, we are superhuman. We have superpowers. You're a robot and I'm a witch or something like that. They're aware of, you know, their Avengerisms, but
Avengerisms. I like that word.
But they still are just la-di-da, maybe hiding out. I just find it to be some kind of limbo.
Yeah, so I can see that from a general audience perspective. So in Age of Ultron, the main emphasis is that Wanda essentially controls minds. That's her thing. Like, she shows Tony a vision. She shows Thor a vision. She shows all of them different visions of the future. Every vision that she shows play key to the actual Avengers trilogy. And in doing so...
Yeah.
That's what we know her as, is she plays mind games. So it makes sense that when we do see her in a TV show, it's going to be a mind game that she's just essentially made onto herself.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So I'm guessing that's where we're going with the whole show then.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm afraid so.
It's more so in episode two than episode one.
Rather than saving that bit for the end, we're only 24 minutes into this.
I figured we probably should, because it's going to come up a lot. I'm like, I might as well, you know, explain it now.
No, I agree.
Pull off the band-aid.
Right.
And just to predicate the whole deal, so many people will probably mention this, but this is loosely based on a comic book story called The House of M.
Yep.
Which is one of my personal favorite stories in the comics. And it's basically... similar situation, people die, including Vision, and she's, you know, stricken with grief because she, like, accidentally killed these people and killed her love of her life and goes absolutely insane and creates a fake reality. The problem is when she creates a fake reality, it affects actual reality. So she has the power to just wipe out existence if she wants to. So she creates this perfect life of her and Vision being married and having children together, and it's this wonderful life. And everyone from the outside is, you know, trying to get in and trying to help her, but too many people are affected by her fake reality now. So this is, I guess, going to be an inverse of that in a way, because of the end result of the House of M won't exist because there's no mutants in this world yet. So we'll dive into that later. So,
Interesting.
Unless that opens it up.
It could.
It could be an inverse introduction, because I always thought they were going to do the mutant introduction somehow with Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange and just tie it in that way. But
this could work. Almost. Yeah.
They can do it soon.
I'll explain how it could work. I'll explain how this could work. Anyways, let's continue on.
Right. So
then, we have the fun job.
Yeah, they have the fun breakfast morning where she's like, all the plates are flying around and look, she's using magic and stuff. And then Vision changes his face to go to work. And they have all those kind of classic tropes, because then the neighbor comes in and she has those super, like, the neighbor was the one-liner episode two. Like, episode one, she's kind of like into it. But then by episode two, she's like all of the one-liners about, like, my husband Ralph is going to do this. Oh,
there
was a beer called June 2nd so he'd remember our anniversary. Just all that kind of stuff.
She was the better part, I feel like, of the show. But she's a fantastic comedian. She was in Step Brothers. She's been in so many different things. And, I mean, every time I've ever seen her in something, she's very highly sexualized, like she's constantly making sex jokes. So this was the first time where she's just making normal husband's such a lazy dog. Ooh.
Right.
You know, it was interesting to see her in this different role, but I dug it. I liked seeing her.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. All the guest spots in this show are fantastic.
She also explained away the delay in getting to know everyone, because she says something, because Wanda moved in and then, like, they got married and they moved in, and now it's been however long amount of time, and she's just seeing the neighbor. She's just, like, you know, connecting with people, and she explains away the delay pretty well.
Well, and from what I got is they had only been there for a very, very short amount of time, because when she walked in, she goes, wow, you guys look like you've been here forever type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she still hadn't seen the neighbor. Like, because she has the joke about boxes don't move themselves, huh?
Yeah. But they do.
And yes, my husband is a human man. Oh.
human man.
See, and that's why I thought that this, us doing this, would be difficult, because we were going to be talking a lot about the corny, like, black and white TV show stuff rather than the big picture stuff. But Prague, you've been nailing the big picture stuff.
I'll be here for you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And so then we go to Vision at work, and he's offended by being like, oh, it's like you're working computer. Yeah, he takes offense to that.
Yep. What? What?
Oh, I am not. Yeah.
And it shows him going processing through papers really fast, and angst about dinner with the boss. The heart on the calendar actually is his boss, Mr. Hart, and they're having dinner with him and his wife.
Cue laugh track.
Oh my god, this situation. And so then they bring out the guy who last had a dinner with the boss, and he had like a string quartet and like a 5-course meal, like lobster dinner and stuff, and he's still getting fired. It's pretty good.
Classic TV right there. Oh,
Nate Slapper.
What a mean boss.
They did really good job though in like watching a bunch of stuff from the past and just, you know, cherry picking things to put in this episode. Like, they really fine tuned all of the parts that made those classic things classic.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
You got to give credit for that.
Good.
Yeah, it definitely felt like you were watching a show from the 50s or, well, 50s. I don't think the 60s really did too much of this.
And so then they have the pronoun game misconception about the phone on the evening where Wanda thinks it's their anniversary, so she's going to wear something special. And Vision actually knows what it is, but he doesn't specifically know what it is because it wouldn't have any storyline if he came out and said that my boss is coming over for dinner. Because you got to have the TV show. You got to have the drama of it, right? You got to be like, how is this going to wrap up in 23 minutes?
Oh, we're both on the same page. Perfect. Okay, I'll see you in a bit.
Yep. Click. And so then there's a commercial break, and it's for the Toastmaster 2000. Toast the past. This is made, the future.
Made by Stark Industries.
Yes, it is made by Stark Industries.
It even
I don't think Alex
the,
is gonna get this.
No, it even made the noise from Tony Stark's suit. Yep.
So she was almost killed by a Stark Industries bomb. That's how she became an orphan. Yeah.
Did it look like that thing?
Oh, what a Stark Industries bomb. It's like a beeping bomb made by Stark Industries. Toast your past.
Yeah, toast
it's
the past.
Whole like, oh my god, it's her trauma in a commercial, pretty much.
Yes. Interesting. See? Yeah. See, with little nuggets of knowledge like that, now that is kind of cool.
There you go.
I just thought, Age of Ultron. What? There's a red flashing light, and they're letting it beep forever.
No, I would say that every single nanosecond of this show is purposeful. I don't think they waste a second.
And then
that's
also,
my guess.
The obvious color things are going to be big things that she can't control. They're going to break in. Like, you can make this perfect reality.
It's her trauma.
But whenever
she can't
colors,
control
you can't,
that.
Yeah, you can't take those out. It's like highlighting those pieces of her mind.
It's like, commercial.
Interesting. Wow.
Change the channel.
People are going to listen to this and be like, wow, I learned a lot today.
Okay. Or they can watch Age of Ultron and be like, oh, that's obviously the bomb.
Oh, I still haven't seen that movie.
There you go. That explains a lot. I don't know who Wanda is. I don't get it. You know, the movie that she was introduced in. And
what is Marvel?
And...
I just jumped in
there. What is this Marvele? All right.
Does Baby Yoda show up in this at some point?
Where's
Mando?
Yeah,
when does Baby Yoda show up? You never know.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And so
okay.
Back from commercial break, it's dinner time. And so Wanda is wearing a nightgown, and she goes up behind the boss and she says, guess who it is? And it turns out it's a Sokovian greeting, because you have to always explain away the crazy things that someone does when there's miscommunication with the stupidest things.
Always.
And the other people accept it. They always take it at face value. They never be like, what? This is totally BS. I know what's going on.
Classic 50 sitcom.
They're European. That's why.
Exactly. Oh, that's right. And then you get the introduction of Kitty.
Yes.
Kitty. Yeah,
oh,
dude.
Kitty.
She was awesome.
She's great.
You know, I
Kitty.
Didn't realize how amazing of an actress she was.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That dinner scene where they're sitting at the table and she's like, okay, stop. Like, her just saying the word stop over and over and over again. Wow, dude. I was like,
creepy.
She is so good.
Yeah, I was excited. I didn't realize she was going to be in the show. I tried not to see who was going to be in the show, because I already knew kind of what they were doing with it. I'm like, I don't want to see what else is going on. So I had no idea who was all going to be in this.
Right.
So that was kind of fun. It was a nice surprise.
Now, I skipped ahead. I apologize. But there's a lot that happens before this table scene.
That's true. But anyways, that was a fun little moment.
Right. Shout out to that 70s show. Red and Kitty are the best part of that show.
Pretty much.
For sure.
Wait, there's other characters on that show? Anyways,
And so then Wanda's in the kitchen, and it turns out she has no dinner prepared because she thought it was just going to be a night with her and Vision. And so now she has to prepare dinner. But luckily, the neighbor, who is that neighbor that just has everything, she could like open up a trench coat and have everything on Earth available. Right. So she brings over like these three different options for dinners. And then, of course, Wanda has to mess them all up. And all this time, Vision has to entertain the boss and the wife. And so it starts out where they're talking about the forms. And again, we didn't describe what Vision does. Like, he's twice now asked exactly what we try to do. And the guy says that we're changing our forms from portrait to horizontal, and that'll allow us to print more and make more. And it's just, it's really fun sequencing, because a lot of classic TV sitcoms never go into, like, I'm going to work, and it's just, that's it. We don't ever know what that work is. It's just, I'm going to work, there's an office, and now I'm home.
Hey, what do you do? What do you do?
Yeah, that's true, man. Yeah.
Just at an office that just looks like every office on every sitcom of the era. Sounds kind of fun.
But then the best part, right, probably of the whole episode, is that the magic is potentially on display, because Kitty's going to open the blinds. And so Vision busts into Yakety Yak and sings.
It's great.
Oh my God.
This is the first time I think I've laughed out loud in a while watching something. Because it's so awkward.
Well, and I love that, like...
And Kitty's like, oh, yeah.
Kitty actually just starts dancing. She whips around and just starts dancing out of nowhere. Oh, and she was digging it, too.
Yep. Oh, just get into it, man.
Paul Bettany does a really good job in this entire, like, two-episode sequence, because I know he said, when they killed Vision, I thought I was done with the MCU. To be back and actually playing this character, he's taking, like, full advantage, and he's going, like, all in and just having a great time with it.
Yes, he is. You can tell he's having fun.
Yeah, and he, I don't know, he's just one of those actors that you just love to see on your screen. Like, I love seeing this guy. Like, one of the first shows or movies I ever saw him in was A Knight's Tale, and I thought that I didn't get enough of him in Knight's Tale because he was so good in that. But now to see him, like, continuing on and being still successful, I love it, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. Shout out to him for sure.
I know he's listening, so.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Now she gets to mess up dinner, and so she makes the chicken burnt, and then she makes it go back in time, and it's eggs, and then the lobster flies out the window. And all the while, they're doing a rendition of Old MacDonald's in the living room.
Yep, they are.
On a ukulele. Yeah.
See,
this whole thing, this is where I tune out. I'm like, okay, this is far too corny for me. Like, that was the type of stuff where I'm like, skip. If I could have skipped, I would have skipped.
But it kind of has to be, though. If she's like, I mean, she's like losing her mind, you know, and she is going through grief, and she needs it to be as corny and cheesy and like that as possible.
But that's the thing, is like, for someone like me who doesn't know what she's going through, I'm looking at this like, okay, so Disney just kind of wanted to make a show with two people and like make it like Dick Van Dyke and all those old shows.
Yeah.
That's the overviewing takeaway of what it is. But once episodes are out, I think it's going to make sense more, even if you've never watched any of the other MCU movies, just to see what she's going through and how. If you grew up on something and that was your safe space when you were little before your world collapsed, when you became orphaned and you got experimented on and just your life has been a living hell the entire time, and that's the one thing you have to grasp onto, and you actually had the ability to put yourself in that, how many people who do go through grief would love to the ability to create some type of world to go to escape from all that they have to deal with?
Yeah, a perfect reality where they can, pretty much control everything.
Yeah, for sure. No, it totally makes sense.
Because she does have the funny jokes that it was something about, because the stat was that single men die 50% more, and she combines it up that single men were killing married men,
Men were killing single men.
Yeah. She just decides to faint into the guy's arms when he's asking her questions about stuff, because that's always good.
Wow, Wow. See, here's the thing is like, I'm sitting here thinking, I forgot all of this stuff, and I literally just watched this show maybe an hour ago.
Well, this stuff is fun just because I thought for the first episode, I took notes in detail on quotes and little interactions about, because I thought they were going to do one episode in this style and then like one episode in different styles every so often. The second episode, my notes aren't as detailed because I was like, oh. But with that, the real idea, though, is she's starting to kind of convolute things up together. It works for the laugh track, but now we'll get to the actual dinner and we get to the questions. And she doesn't have answers to these questions. The where do you come from? And she's kind of just blank because it pierces through her little reality. And so that's why Kitty starts saying stop it so many different times. It almost becomes like a loop, or not a loop, but like a skipping vinyl record, because she's just stuck. She cannot process the next part of this vision because she just doesn't have any aspect of it.
So for me, this is where the show, and granted, this is like one of the very last scenes. This is where the show got really good. I'm like, okay, now I'm tuned in. Because after you get past all the laugh tracks, you get past the corny jokes, you get past all the Easter eggs that are totally blowing over my head, you're finally hitting a point where there's like some seriousness. Like the boss starts choking on a steak and Kitty's sitting there saying, ha ha ha, okay, stop it. Okay, stop it. And you could see her getting like more and more upset to where she's like still trying to keep the smile, but she's crying and telling him to stop it. And then Wanda tells Vision, help him, Vision. And this is where I kind of raise the question, my question marks of, he goes to help his boss from choking. He phases through his throat, grabs the steak, and then phases the steak through his throat as well. But he couldn't phase his wife through the front door. I know that that's kind of small and minuscule. It's just one of those continuity things that I'm
going to refer back to. Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. It was more of a joke for the intro. That's all it was.
And
it was,
I get nothing that. To
do with
it.
Vision can selectively do whatever he wants with metal.
Yeah, he's pretty right. powerful.
But at the end of the day, that scene was the best acting scene, I thought, out of the entire show so far. Seeing that whole thing, like even, I mean, Wanda was tops. Vision was awesome. Kitty was perfect. It was
Kitty.
Just
How can
great.
We keep calling her Kitty. It's great.
Because
who knows what her name is in the show?
If she anybody like knows Mrs. her Hart, as anything right? else, yeah, Mrs. yeah. Hart. But she was, I mean, dude, we've all grew up with her being Kitty, so
she's
meow.
Kitty.
All
right.
She still looks great, too.
Once he does pull the steak out, the boss just gets up and he's like, oh, look at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go. Right. We'll talk about a promotion on Monday. Like, nothing at all just happened. And that was totally where her skipping thing got back on, the needle got back into the track, the groove.
It was like, okay, back to normal. Here we go. Exactly.
I like your little metaphor, too, with the needle getting back into the groove. It's skipping or, you know, screwing up. I dig that. That's a cool way of putting it.
And so then she thought about the rings, and so they create rings, and they have that nice, aw, in the background for the audience.
That's
and
right,
then
the
we
audience.
Go to the end credits scene. And this is where we have the ultimate intrigue, that we zoom out to a monitor and someone's actually watching the monitor. And then they even try to change the dial before we go to the end credits. And so I was like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now, you know, we did episode one. Right. We had fun. It was goofy. Let's go. And then episode two is like, nah, we're not going anywhere.
Nope.
Same S right here. But no, and right once they pulled out and showed that TV screen and the guy taking notes or whatever, immediately I'm thinking, so the bad guy from Inspector Gadget is watching WandaVision? Like, is that what's happening? Where's his cat, dude?
The Claw! Nice. Sword is not a bad guy. They're not a bad organization in the comics.
So, Sword,
the MCU.
That's the key word here. That's where, the average nerds were talking about it. They were talking about how Sword, and if you look, you see a sword throughout mm-hmm. the entire show. You'll see a yep. sword on like little things here and there all over the place. It's actually pretty interesting. But if I didn't listen, like I said, again, if I didn't listen to them, I would have never noticed that.
Yeah. It's not, it's something that I actually didn't even pick up on until I saw it during that ending credits. I'm like, oh my gosh, I bet that symbol is in other places in the episode. So I had to go back through the episode to watch it again. Like, right. Okay. All right. There you go. Anyways, since we're near the end of the episode, I almost forgot that there is another, oh, there's probably more Easter eggs I can go through forever, but there yes. is a bottle of wine that is being poured that does have the big letter M on the bottle for the House of M, which is a reference to the story from the comics that this is based on. It was kind of clever. And the translation, I believe, for the French wording is something about the House of Chaos, and she uses chaos magic, so...
Frog, you could have probably done this whole episode on your own.
Probably. That's okay. This is fun hearing what like other people think and like if they're confused or if it's too much or if it's not as fun for other people, you know, because I just wonder if it's maybe too much like in-depth Easter eggs and not enough story, you know,
especially because it's Easter eggs of relatively niche comic storylines. You know, it's not
yeah,
like
it's weird niche. Like, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to cool. be like an X-Men fan, not like just a Marvel fan to know that storyline. So, yeah,
X-Men.
Sorry.
It's another what snore. Anyways, so episode two.
Episode two, my favorite.
It's just funny. Anyway, I know how much Prog loves X-Men. For you to say another bore is just great.
It's a good thing I love you, Alex.
I said it last episode. If we all agreed on this stuff, what's the point of even having an interesting podcast?
The fun juxtaposition of I think this is super boring to this is like my favorite thing. That's fun.
Well, yeah, but he knows the story front and back. He knows the comic. He's read this, and it's his childhood coming off the page onto the screen. For me, it's two very uninteresting characters doing uninteresting things.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. We'll see how the audience reacts, because I get your point, Prog, of saying that, oh, you may you want to look it up and research it and stuff, but if... You're like Alex and you don't talk to... Say Alex had that perspective and he doesn't talk to us. Does he even care to continue watching it after episode two?
Yeah, maybe not.
All that stuff goes over your head of House of M or Sword or anything, and they don't give you that many intriguing tidbits once you take two episodes as a whole.
Yeah.
They might lose the audience.
And that's the thing. That's exactly... You said it perfectly. There's not enough things intriguing to really keep people wanting more. I mean, what, you gave us a 3-second clip of a guy watching a TV, of watching Wanda and Vision on TV? Like, that's not, like you said, episode two, you never see him again. Obviously, this is going to be down the road, but it just sucks that, like,
right.
I don't know, whatever.
No, I think that's, I think this is why they wanted this not to be the flagship series to come out the gate first.
It's tough. Right.
They didn't have a choice. It was
they
we have this
a way
ready
to tell the audience that this is super comic heavy, because they didn't. They said, oh, you guys
no,
like
they
MCU?
They went right into it.
Here, like, look, oh there's gosh. A TV show version of it. So a lot of people wouldn't even be looking for these hidden Easter eggs. And that's tough. Yeah. That's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should at least bear some of that burden, that they should have at least come forward with something for people that weren't aware that that was the case,
especially because Disney Plus is so generalized. It's like Disney's pushing it as their general service for everyone. It's not a niche thing. This is like, hey, everybody on Earth should have it. We have, you know, Pixar and Star Wars and Marvel and our classic Disney movies, like our big things that are just known to everyone. Not, oh, here's some super niche stuff that no one hardly ever has even heard of, nevertheless read the whole details of.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and that was the cool thing about like Mandalorian. Like, if I thought this was going to be kind of like Mandalorian, where it didn't need to tie into, but that's stupid of me to say, because nothing in Marvel, everything in Marvel ties everything into in. Everything yeah. into Marvel. Like Star Wars, they literally could have done everything with Mandalorian and had nothing to do with the regular story, which is great. I loved that about it.
The finale of season two.
Right. Which, if you haven't listened to that episode that we did, where we shouldn't spoil it here.
But anyways, yeah, let's move on to the second episode.
You can watch Mandalorian completely by itself. You never even really need to have watched the Star Wars films or dive deep into the expanding universe. Like, characters make an appearance, but you don't need to know their whole backstory to enjoy what they show up and do.
Like, for Cobb Vance, I had no idea that he had his own book and a whole backstory. I thought Cobb Vance was just a cool dude on screen. I'm like, all right, I want to see more of this guy. I don't know. That he brought enough intrigue to the show to make me want to do more research on him. Nothing about this has made me want to do any research.
Well, don't understate how well Jon Favreau can connect kind of to a general audience. He's done it time and time again. He can, you know, make it more for a common man type of creation. Like, Dave Filoni's going to be the super, I know everything about Star Wars stuff. If he made the show entirely without Jon Favreau, it wouldn't be nearly as popular as it was.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. And then also Kevin Feige is working on a Star Wars movie, so his attention is kind of distracted.
Well, we're already at 50 minutes. We haven't even started the second episode.
Well, second episode is essentially the first episode with some color splash effects.
Right. And actually the second episode, I start noticing more sword logos as well. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, on the helicopter, the first thing that she sees in color is a toy helicopter that's in the same color as Iron Man's suit. But it has a sword on it. I believe it's got a sword on the nose of the
helicopter.
That's
the first time I noticed the sword. You know, I didn't notice it at all. Now that you say it, I'm like, I probably should rewatch episode one. Because I wasn't even looking. I'm like watching the episode. I'm not like, oh, look, is there hidden stuff? Am I playing
Waldo?
Well,
I was too. The first time I was just watching it. And I'm like, wait a second. Did it say this? Did it show that? So I had to rewatch it once I saw the sword logo. I went, okay, they're going to hide stuff in this episode. Yeah. And they did.
So it's good to know.
Yeah.
And so episode two starts off where they have separate beds and Wanda wakes from a crash sound. And scared, or Vision is scared, and he's like, I'm not going to go look. It's a fun joke of the husband being scared of doing stuff, and so Wanda has to take care of it. And then it's just a branch that's smacking into the window, and then Wanda merges the beds together. They have one new bed, and now we get to the animated intro.
Which I actually really liked. I thought the animated intro was pretty fun.
It was a love Bewitched. Yes, it was fun.
It was totally
it was very
Bewitched. Because in Bewitched, they just sing Bewitched over and over again. And so this one, they just sang WandaVision over and over again.
Pretty much. It's the same thing. It was great.
Do they sing Bewitched just over and over again?
It's anyways, Bewitched, 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 Bewitched. It's the same song.
What? No.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Anyway. We're not talking Bewitched.
This is Bewitched. So the fun part about the intro, though, other than that, is that it was written by Kristen and Robin Lopez, the ones who do Frozen soundtrack, the one, the EGOT and stuff. They do that.
Okay.
It says at the end, I'm like, oh, so they wrote WandaVision to repeat over and over again. That's what they did. Great.
That's pretty funny.
And then for some reason, Vision looks like Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters in the animated intro. It's so weird. It's almost sketched exactly. It doesn't look anything like Paul Bettany for sure.
No. I thought the same thing.
Do you think that's a little like Wanda's sitting there thinking, well, I kind of wish he looked more like.
Ooh, maybe.
If I was Wanda.
I mean, she's coming up with this stuff in her head. This is what I wish Vision looked like.
Do you want
like,
Paul Bettany or do you want Thor? I don't know.
Well, at this point, he was Fat Thor, so who knows?
Still.
But yeah, that's
anyways,
pretty fun.
Let's move on.
So yeah, we get past the intro. And so this entire episode is predicated that there's going to be a town talent fair. And so their talent is going to be a magic trick. And Wanda has the fun line that in a real magic act, everything is fake. Wait, it's just awesome because she actually performed real magic. And it is totally true and accurate sentence. It's a nice juxtaposition.
It was fun. Yes, I enjoyed it. Then you have his outfit. It was this great outfit that he gets to wear that she shows up with. Oh, no, dear. That's for you.
Yes.
That was great. Unfortunately, he doesn't wear it, though. That would have been funny.
I know, it would have been.
Anyway. There's a part of me that actually thought that he would put it on.
Well, I did, too. I was like, okay, here we go. This would be fun. But no.
It's okay. No. Anyways.
All right, next scene.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing that, and then so there's a neighborhood watch and planning committee. So there's the neighborhood watch thing that Vision's going to go to, and then there's the planning committee that Wanda's going to go to. So that way they both get to interact with either female neighbors or male neighbors, and they get to go in their separate little things because it's the 50s, mm-hmm. and you don't cross genders when you're doing anything, especially if it's neighborhood watch. You don't want any females on neighborhood watch. It's the 50s.
Right. Actually, I think this might be close, trending closer to the 60s now, if I remember correctly. Just based on like the suits and stuff, but
well, they yeah. at
still,
this point
even
they,
back then is, you don't.
Yeah,
I think Bewitched is 62, so that makes sense.
Yeah, early 60s, but still, yeah, you wouldn't want them on there. Anyways, I do enjoy this scene coming up though.
So before we get to Paul Bettany with the neighborhood watch, we do have Wanda goes out in her front door, and that's where the copter is with the Iron Man colors and the sword logo. But the weird thing I had was, why is Wanda walking like Frankenstein? Her arms were out like this, and I was like, why is she walk like this? She did it the whole time.
What?
That's, I don't know what if there's a meaning in
she
some comic book.
She walks
for
like that.
That
the whole episode. No, is this, I think she was trying to mimic, like,
okay,
maybe she
I'm
was trying to mimic some actress from that time period. I wasn't
it
too sure,
weird.
But she does it through the whole episode.
I literally
quite
have
a lot.
It sitting right here, so now I've got to look this up, because that
I was calling
I
them dainty hands.
That
she like, holds
all.
Them out like dainty hands all the time. Like, I don't what? Know where she got that from. She must have studied some actress. I don't know. Yeah, but it happened.
And so then the neighbor comes over, and they're going to go walk over to the planning committee. And she has the fun introduction of Senor Scratchy, who personally, that was my personal favorite from the two episodes, was Senor Scratchy. I mean, literally, he's a bunny and he played baby Jesus. So
it's crazy.
I'm all in on Senor Scratchy. I can watch a spin-off show called Senor Scratchy.
Senor Scratchy. What is he up to today? What's he doing?
Okay, I see what you mean. I'm sorry. I'm watching it right now. I see what you mean with
it
her
is.
Arms.
It's very weird arm stuff. I don't
well,
know what's
it's,
happening.
It's right. almost like, so I do that to keep my sleeves up. Anyways, okay, sorry. Okay, I'm not watching okay. this anymore.
I want to watch Alex walk around like this.
Alex walks around, walk around like a 50s housewife. Day-to-day life. It's really great. Yes, exactly. So maybe she was like being over-exaggerative.
If you're watching on YouTube, this is great.
Yeah, you should have like a martini also. And so there's less one-liners and humor from Wanda and Vision during this period. So this is kind of what I talked about. So she's like planning it out in the first episode. She can, you know, think of the dialogue more to create this narrative. By the second one, it's more reliant on the neighbor. Like, you know, she's created this whole thing, but she has less lines for her and Vision.
The neighbor.
Yes.
Well, here's the weird thing. If
Who
she's
is
in
this
control,
neighbor?
If she's in control of everything, how come she created certain people in this?
That's what we'll find out as in the coming
we'll
episode.
Find out.
Oh, God, man. Just tell me now. We got to do 9 of these?
Well, only 8 more because they put 2 into 1. I guess
yeah,
only 7
Yeah, so you're
more.
Lucky.
All right.
Yeah.
But as prog reference, so now Wanda does go to the meeting with the planning committee, and she's super awkward in this sequence as we have this head lady named Dottie who is in control of everyone.
Emma Caulfield.
Everyone Anyways, to yeah. tell her exactly what she wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout now, out to Emma Caulfield. I love her in Buffy. She's great in this role. She's perfect for it, for Dottie.
What? So she's only been in Buffy? I can't.
Oh, no, she's been in a lot
she
of stuff.
She looked really familiar. I could never pinpoint where it was, though. But yeah, she was a great, like, Stepford housewife, but.
Uppity.
Yeah. She was, like, perfect for the role.
Queen Bee, super judgy.
Yes,
exactly.
Perfect.
Yes.
And this is where more of the good acting came. I feel like the acting throughout the series so far, the two episodes so far has actually been really, really solid.
Yeah.
I may not fully enjoy the story, but I like the acting, what I'm seeing. So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's also fun is that she notices that she's wearing pants and she's the only one there wearing pants because women don't wear pants back then.
That's
so
right.
She felt very out of place. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a fun
and
nod.
And so we transition over to Vision going to the neighborhood watch meeting, and he's super awkward there as well. He says, "Oh, I don't eat. Oh, except in between meals. When I sure eat on those main meals."
Well, and before this whole before this scene happens, wasn't it said somewhere? I think Wanda and Vision were talking about how people were talking about these rowdy neighbors, but then they kind of almost
surely not talking about me.
They couldn't be talking about us, could they? And right? So it almost, when he goes to this meeting, it almost feels like that's kind
that
of
is what
they're
doing.
Yep. They are talking about you.
Yes. Fun little scene, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what's up next?
Trevor? So then he eats the gum.
No, not the gum!
Yeah, the gum literally gums up the works, and they're going to use that joke later in the thing. They but they show an joke. Animated
don't masticate!
Of we'll the make actual you blind. Gum. Gum in the gears. Yes.
Gum in the gears.
Which I actually liked. I liked that they did this little animation.
Is there a sword on the animation?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't even look. I didn't look at that scene.
I assume there's got to be some... They showed the animation like five different times. There's got to be something on
it. Oh, they showed it twice, but I'm going to look it up for you right now.
No, they definitely showed it five times.
They showed it quite a bit.
And so also, he also joked because they were started gossiping. You know, he's going there talking like, are we these like analytics about graffiti and burglary and all this stuff? And then they just start joking about gossip. And he's like, well, you know, Norm over here is a communist. And people just thought that was so good.
Oh, great line. That was a great line. And they loved it too. It was just kind of fun. It was like, all right.
No sword. No sword going into the gears.
Okay.
Sword in the gears. Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense for sword to be on the gears.
There is a big lightning bolt over his where his brain's supposed to be.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
And so then we transition back to Wanda. And this is the point where she wants to talk to Dottie one-on-one because she's cleaning it up afterwards. And the radio comes on. It's a Beach Boys song. And then all of a sudden we hear, who's doing this to you, Wanda?
Beach Boys.
Slowly but surely. I knew Prog would like Beach Boys. I'm listening.
I was
Prog,
so
Prog
excited when
part.
It was helping me, Wanda. I was like, oh, my God. So happy. Anyways,
So the glass breaks in Dottie's hand, and then the blood is actually red. It shows on her hand as the radio comes on to say who's doing this to you. So this is like a break in her psyche right now. Someone's actually able to get through temporarily.
That's right.
Come and knock on my door.
But she deflects it who was it? The woman who cut her hand, she deflects it by saying, oh, how do you get blood out of a white satin or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right back into character. Oh.
And then right back into character and she walks away we move right back into story. Yep. I thought that was it's just interesting how they do this, like where there's these extreme like things that happen and then we boom, oh, nothing really happened. Haha, we're moving on.
And so moving on, we get into the commercial, and this time it's for the Strucker watch, which the tagline is, he'll make time for you. And on the watch, there's a Hydra logo because we have to be super obvious. See, so the show does have, it's not all underhanded stuff. There's some pounding you over the head with obvious things. But it's also the same people who were in the first commercial.
Yep.
Well, I didn't notice that. Struck. Darn.
Really?
I wish I did. Yeah,
they
I wish I would
have. In on it.
I really wish I would have. Well, no, I mean the characters who played the, like, I'm not looking at the characters' faces. I'm looking at the product that they're trying to hawk at me.
Okay, I thought you didn't see the logo, the Hydra logo. Or
something. Oh yeah, I definitely saw the Hydra logo.
It was a good watch. I'm like, it was a good watch.
Now, I want to say, like, I know that we're about to move into the next scene from this commercial. I have it pulled up on here, and the wide establishing shot is like this town hall or the town, and it looks like it's clearly on a set, and it looks exactly like it was taken straight out of Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it
has
looks
that feel, doesn't it?
So good. You're right. They must be using like actual film. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know how they're doing
the
it.
The time they took on set decoration and establishing the time period and everything, that's the most noticeable aspect of the first two episodes.
Yeah. It's pretty solid.
And so now we get to the main part of the episode, which is the talent show. And since Vision ate the scum, it gives an approximation that he's drunk. And so he's going to go on and perform this magic show in this drunk version. And in doing so, Vision actually does have powers that he puts on display. And the best part is that Wanda literally has to show how they're fake every single time. She has to literally come up with a mechanism for his powers to actually be done in like traditional magic form. It's great.
It's fun. It's just like Bewitched. It's great.
It is. My favorite one
is
where
Benny's great.
She makes the piano flat and the guy in the audience is like, that's my grandmother's.
That poor guy. Hold on. Wait, is that how mirrors work?
Oh my god.
That's great. That's good stuff.
But like the first trick that he does is the levitation, and she has to she just snaps her fingers and there's a pulley system and people are like, oh, okay.
Oh, there it is. It's a pulley system.
The audience reacts so well every time. Because first they're like completely stumped and they're like kind of scared and like, what's going on? And like, oh, there's just such a relief to everyone.
Oh, it's fake.
Yeah.
That's all good.
But yeah, Paul Bettany absolutely nails this whole sequence. Oh, especially, totally it's highlighted the most by when he says flourish. At the, like, instead of doing flourish, he says flourish after every single time.
Flourish. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So
then so he says main, the gummed up the act. Works thing.
Yeah. Sorry. So the whole gummed up the works, he's drunk. He's now doing the finale where he's supposed to make Wanda disappear or something.
Yeah.
So
they use the stage lady. I mean, what else is there to say about it?
I don't know. Was there anything else that was special about that scene, or was it just literally
just
a talent show?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, it was a fun, funny scene.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Now, there is something bigger at play here. So, what was this?
That's what I'm looking for, Prague.
What was this fair for, everybody? They said it a million times in the episode.
The talent. It was, the kids. And they all said
it
simultaneously.
For the children.
For the children.
All the time. They kept chanting it.
Like a cult.
For the children. Like, this whole show is for the children.
But it's
see me winking
not.
At the camera there.
Well, anyways. Here's the thing. So when they show the audience, since this is all for the children, there's not one kid in the audience.
That's not what this is about. This is for the children.
Oh, like probably like sick kids or something.
Let's move on. I'll show
my god.
Later.
Just tell me, Prog.
We're going to get to it.
Tell him, Prog.
Oh my, okay, fast forward to the very end of the episode where she becomes pregnant.
Yes.
What? Okay.
Did you not watch the end of the episode?
So
the end of the episode.
I got that, but I had no idea that it was going to be, that was their whole saying of for the children.
That's her wish fulfillment. She wants children. She never got to have them. This is all for the children. Imagine being powerful enough to create life.
Well then, call me a superhero, my friends.
out of nothing, stirring up two people having sex. Obviously. Goodness gracious!
When do I get my own
call
TV
me
series?
A superhero. Jesus.
I've got some stuff that I can show you guys.
Oh, please don't! Please don't! I don't want that vision.
So Prague, it doesn't really jump ahead because that's where we were. So they're trying to sneak off
and they give him the award
for having the most humorous thing ever. So they go back to their house and all of a sudden she spins the camera and then she's pregnant, like full on, like 7 or 8 months pregnant. And in doing so, they then are like, that was such a good experience. But then they hear that sound outside. And so Vision makes a joke about it being the branch again. And they go outside. And then this is where things get weird because she looks forward. And somebody comes out of the storm drain or out of the sewage, the manhole cover. And it's not Pennywise, sadly, but it is a guy in this beekeeper outfit.
Not the bees! Not the bees! Yes, some bees.
Yes, and so the beekeeper guy comes up and we zoom in on his face. And then we're like, okay, what's going on? And then she says, stop. and we rewind back to where we were. And that
wait a second, what's the logo
happened.
On his shirt?
And so, Alex, actually, this is the kind of the sequence that emphasizes that she's controlling all of this. When she says stop, like even if you have no idea what's going on, she literally says stop and rewinds the tape.
She did not say stop. It's more important than that. She said no.
Yes,
yeah,
no.
She
yeah.
says
she
no.
She said no.
No.
This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Rewind that stuff. We're going to go back to when I was happy and having kids.
So on the back of the guy who comes out of the sewer, it looks like he's got a sword on the mm-hmm. on a giant sword logo on the back
sure
of
does.
His beekeeper outfit.
Sure does.
They almost hang on it a little long. Like if you're not really, really looking, you're not going to notice it. But yeah, there's a sword on it. So
mm-hmm. so yeah. someone's getting in. She is not having it. Like,
and then whenever she says no and does the rewind, it looks like a VCR. So I guess right. it's not film. I don't know, man. Come on.
Anyway,
and at this point
sure
is where
is
they
filmed,
kiss.
But, yeah.
They rewind, they kiss, and then color. Yay.
And then Technicolor everywhere. I like that scene. I like when
yeah, because it starts
colors.
With like Vision's face. He's got right? that maroon, like reddish. Then everything just kind of like waves over. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. Everything's happy now because we did it for the children.
Man, is that really what that was supposed to mean?
Yes. It was heavy-handed. I don't know how much more you could like say this is all for the children.
No, Prime, when you set there. It up, I think Alex thought you were going to say it was like some special like mutant children or something, not just specifically
right.
Wanda's child. Because you
right,
set
exactly.
it up pretty big.
No, that was it. I thought it was pretty obvious, and I thought he wasn't getting
that's,
it. So I was like,
that's perfectly
right.
obvious and clear. It's just,
okay.
I even thought there was some like special X-Men comics that they had this whole like children's school thing. Like I didn't know what you were going with that. Beyond, like I knew no. the basic thing. I thought there was something else that I missed.
No, I'm just saying that was the whole point of the fair was it was for the children. The whole show, like
right.
the TV show, WandaVision, is about the children.
So here's the interesting thing about the end of this episode.
It's like keep winking at the camera. Yeah.
Well, compared to the first the end of the first episode. The first episode, we zoom out. Yes. And there's Inspector Gadget, bad guy. Then the second episode, it writes out the end. Is that supposed to have any kind of significance that they're saying that this is the end?
I don't know.
Is that the end of this chapter of their life? Is it, I mean, just because they didn't have a the end on the first episode.
True, they did not. I did not catch that, actually. So I don't know what that means for this.
Yeah.
We also got another plane of Wanda's who's doing this to you. Or who's doing this to you, Wanda, right at the very end.
Right, yeah.
And so the voice isn't somebody we know, right?
Not that I could tell.
Because the voice to me sounded almost identical to Cap. Like, it's almost a dead ringer to his voice if you manipulate it through radio. I don't think it is, but it's weird whoever this person's voice sounds so close to Chris Evans.
Huh. That's
maybe.
Pretty interesting to think. Yeah.
Because actually, Chris Evans cares about Wanda probably more than almost anyone who's still alive.
No.
Oh, God. Well.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All just right, well, final closest. Thoughts, or would you, like, you know, spoil more, or tell you more stuff? Or...
Tell
yeah,
me
do
more,
you have
Prog,
more to tell?
Because no, so far, I'm not excited. Like,
not
I want to get into it. No, I really want to get into
oh,
it.
You will,
but
then
this
I
feels
won't
like
spoil,
a super
so
slow burn
get...
thing that
this
is going
to
drag
burn.
It out for it's... 9 weeks, and I'm going to wait till March to have answers, and I'm going to have to rewatch these stupid episodes again to be like,
yes,
oh, now it makes sense. I don't want to do that.
You're going to. That's
what yeah. Guess what? Be, that's sure. not happening here, friends. No way.
Yeah, this is gonna be a slow burn. I feel. I think this is gonna be a slow burn. It's gonna be her introducing her kids to the universe, and I'm sure she's gonna use chaos magic at some point to, I don't know, connect the multiverse somehow, or maybe she goes crazy and that's what blows up the multiverse.
Well,
and
she's
then Doctor
Strange
has to rein it in.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So Doctor Strange might have to be like, oh God, I need to stop her from going out of control and rein in all these universes that have mutants in them, for example, and vampires in them. for Blade, for example. Right. You know, different universes. Okay. So it could, that's how the inverse thing could happen, right? You could be like, instead of ending mutants, she brings them about by opening up the portal to these other dimensions that kind of hover on the same plane as ours.
Because like, there already is a fissure in reality from the three different snaps. So it's it's susceptible to breaking that much more.
And she is powerful enough to do that. So it could happen. She has a mental psychic breakdown.
In the MCU version of her.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what they're about. Who knows?
Well, and here's a question too. Do you think that this is going to be where they finally introduce mutants in this show?
That, some people are saying it's a possibility.
It's really intriguing. I don't think as a bridge point to Doctor Strange. Point, I think. But also, they can't make it so you have to watch this show, if because they want this, all of their shows, to kind of accent their movies. They don't want you to be like, this is required viewing if you're going to see the next Marvel movie. I don't think that's their goal. And so I can't imagine they're going to do something gigantic like that.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's going to be something where, yeah, she has a psychic break and something happens. Sword has to be involved for some reason other than just monitoring her. And that's just what they do. So I don't know. We'll see how big they go with the finale. But
I just feel I've got so many questions.
But see, like, I like that. Like, I like that. I like having lots of questions that can be answered throughout the season. I know a lot of people don't like that. There's a lot of people that hate that. So this, I guess this show isn't for everybody. They really tried to market for everybody.
Well, I mean, after listening to Prague talk about it, now I've got more questions. Like, even more on the lines of the
I have questions too, because like, I have no idea how X-Men, they're going to do this.
Like, what if they did start bringing in a couple, like, if this was the introduction to X-Men into the MCU? And I know that a lot of these shows, I mean, I'm losing. Sorry, I've been dealing with a crying baby.
I'm losing my mind.
I'm losing
like Wanda over here.
It's a good thing you're not Wanda then. Oh, boy.
Hey, man. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it could be cool considering I have to watch this show. Thank God this isn't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything. Then I'd definitely be out.
Thank God for just the entire world that this isn't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Amen. Amen to that.
There we go. Well, hey, let's get excited for the next episode, fellas.
Well, I'm excited.
I know I am, personally.
I'm discouraged that it's not going to answer anything. Like, this is going to take forever. We have a general idea of where they're going to go, but this is going to be agonizingly slow.
Oh, Agnes? No, don't. God. Oh, God. Why'd you say that?
Agonizing.
No, answers are going to be or questions are going to be answered next episode. No. That's what I'm hoping for, Trevor.
Okay, well, the title of the show is WandaVision. You could easily view this as Wanda's vision. It's the same idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, fun.
So there's going to be a lot multi-purposed meetings between everything that they're doing.
Yes, there is. It's my kind of show. It's it's not like the greatest show of all time. All right,
no,
like
but there's a lot to digest.
It has its faults. There's a lot to digest.
It's like Lost. There's all these weird enigmas and mysteries and stuff.
Enigma wrapped in enigma.
Well, like cool, guys.
This is like a donut, and the donut hole is missing, and I don't know what the donut hole is. There's a donut hole inside the donut hole.
I need to buy a cable knit sweater now. Okay.
All right, guys, that's it.
We talked
up,
a long
boys.
Time. I feel bad that it was two episodes. I knew this one would go longer, but to everyone who made it this far, thank you. We really appreciate it. All the potential support and listening that you do. And stay tuned next week. We're going to talk about WandaVision every week between now and March. I hope you like it.
Oh, my God. Till March?
So excited.
Oh, wow. Dry January can't end soon enough.
Maybe you should sign up for Marvel Unlimited and you can read them House of M comics.
Yes, you can. That'd be so great. Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Okay.
Backstory. You know, I tried to go and watch Clone Wars and all that stuff to try and understand more of Mandalorian.
Definitely not doing
I couldn't even
reading.
Do that, so I don't think I'm going to be doing it. I don't think I'm going to be all doing right. anything like that. I got Dawson's Creek to finish, okay, guys? Dawson's Creek is sitting there waiting on for me. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, see, they don't even sing that song in the Netflix version because they didn't buy the rights to the song. Unbelievable. Okay. Netflix, you have $1 billion+. Just buy the song.
Well, the song is ironic for this show, too, because I feel like my life might be over by the time they get answers from the show.
Anyway, I feel like we've tried to end this episode multiple times, so...
To everyone listening, we hope you enjoy it. We'll talk to you next time.
Hug out.
Yeah, see you later. DeLorean Wolfgang. Yeah, ready for the next one, I guess.